number that I had, was going to leave. So as I left, I turned back to see if he was still looking at me. And he was indeed. And I believe he bowed again as I left the room. And it was a really special feeling to have that happen, because here's a being that I thought might be God, and he bows to me. Well, anyway, we move on from there. And there is another place he said, I have to take you. And it took me to a location where there was I was going to meet another humanoid again. And I went into this place, and they said, I'm going in this room, and it seemed to be small. And inside there was what appeared to be one huge bed. Basically, it was soft. And I went inside, it was soft, and it was like a bed. And I said, oh, there's I looked in there, and then there was a woman in there. Yeah, it's a woman. And she had all kinds of what appeared to be purplish, purple. It looked like tattoo, the same tone of a tattoo. But all over her body, across her face, she had breasts as a woman. And I didn't know what I was doing there. So I said, well, maybe I can. Maybe she knows what's going on. And I don't think I had too much problem addressing her as a she, because it was pretty obvious. So I said, began to ask. I sat there and I tried to talk, and nothing happened. She didn't know what I was thinking. And then I remember having that talk, and nothing happened. And then I turned away, kind of wondering. All of a sudden, she jumped on top of me. I said, oh, you want to play? You want to wrestle? So she's running around like, on my back, jumping on my back. I said, oh, wow, you're getting kind of aggressive. So I said, oh, okay, you're a wrestler. So I did a move, which was a switch. And when I switched her, turned her over, turned her, you know, she, like, was surprised. What she expected. And I said, well, I'm sorry, did I hurt you? Something, you know, didn't understand it. She just went back and sort of just kind of gave up. And then the door opened and another woman came in. She was different. She was Caucasian. And she tried to get my attention a little bit more, and I asked her the same kind of questions, what's going on here. And anyway, and give a short story, well, it wasn't very long. The door opened, and I left. She left, and then my guy came in and said, oh, you finished here, let's go. So I said, okay, I finished here. Who is that? I said, that's another woman that she has a desire. She's alone, so she has a desire to know someone to help. So anyway, that didn't happen with me anyway, because I was too concerned about other things. Not necessarily having, you know, relations with an alien woman. But anyway, moving on from there, I remember that I went back again to that sea. At the point, I was able to witness a few more things, and I guess there was a time that I had to be waiting for it. And my guy got me, and then we went into the classroom. And this is where some of the things went on. After leaving the classroom, some of the environment, the things in the classroom, one of the excursions, I met what appeared to be Riley Martin, because he was the black man. And he said, hey, you got to see this. And I said, well, what's that? You got to go in there, man. It's amazing. So, okay. I asked my guy, can I go in there? And I said, okay, let's go in there. So I went in there. And didn't look inside. So I went and I looked inside of it. And in there, there's like you can go on a journey and steer yourself through what appears to be I think it was monochromatic, amber colored inside. And you could zoom in on, first of all, the stars, they zoom in on it. And as you zoomed in on it, you could get even closer. And you can go into it, see a city, you move in closer, you can move into life. And move in closer, you can actually see what goes on in this, let's say, you come into someone's home or something like that. Anyway, then. Interesting a little bit, but it, you know, I only went so far with it, and it wasn't what I thought it would be. It told me fantastic, and I said, well, okay, well, especially impressed, as, you know, of what it was. But believe that may be where Riley Martin may have gotten the impression of the many symbols.
Mm-hmm.
To be something very similar but more simple than what he draws as symbols. I left that room and then I went, was taken, I believe, right into the classroom. From there, much of the excursion continued. The learning experience. I didn't cover nearly the ending part of the classroom environment.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following, Jay?
Yes, very interesting. Please, carry on.
Okay. Another, going back to last week now, and filled in the middle gap, now back in the classroom, I was able to ask, and basically had realized that I had the opportunity to ask questions and get answers where I couldn't earlier get any answers. What's going on here? Nobody was able to give me the answers. Well, I had already been informed of the Iran Triple, so there was something that I could reference on planet Earth. And then I had asked about a few things about propulsion, about energy, and things like that, and dimensional planes, or how did it move through this object, and receive answers for that. And I believe I had asked, said a concept of gravity, and how everything is expansive in terms of gravity, and other types of gravity. Acknowledging a type of spiritual gravity, joint back to first, or a type of gravity which is more akin to static electricity. And then moving on to other areas, which I finally decided to ask the big question. The big question being, what is the purpose of human life and on Earth? I qualified it being on our planet Earth because I wasn't aware of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And life on Earth, and it all points to the development toward we as a species to become something else. And I didn't receive the answer from the Dano. Instead, he said, stand up. Once he realized my question, stand up. And I stood up. Now walk in front of me, back and forth. They're like, is this for the whole class, just me? And I look back at everyone who's still seated, and I'm the only one standing up. And I look back, and one of the big guys, the 8-foot guys, are really taller than that. He said in a low his voice, he said, "They want you to walk in front of him." So I said, "Oh, okay, you go." So I said, "All right, I'll walk in front of you." So he said, "Okay." I walked in front of him and went by, right, around, walk back and forth in the other direction, kept walking back and forth in front of him. And as I walked in front of him, my heart, my mind attuned to him, and I realized I was just walking in his will, opening myself to be receptive of what he was about to show me. And I wanted to. In this walk, at the end of the walk, I said, "That's good. You're perfect." I looked at him. I walked, and now I'm perfect. And he said, "Come up." And just before I started to come up, a radiance came along. Covered in light, essentially becoming light. But it was more than that. It's like transport. It would have moved someplace different, dimensionally. I don't know. Come in. So I said, okay, I come in. I came in, became a part of this whole affair, and transported it to another place. And on the way, I asked, is this like an elevator or something? In a way it is. And then I found that we were standing in another location.
Mm-hmm.
And it was different. The walls were different. It was more luminous, filled with light. There was flora, there was gravity. There was things like that. It seemed somewhat normal. I looked at myself as still myself. Well, my teacher, Dano, had become different. Radiant and filled with light. And then two columns of light walked in, one white and one blue. They didn't quite walk in, it just came in. There were columns of light. And they stood back, perhaps 20 feet away, maybe less, maybe more, because the dimensions were, you know, light on the inside, but they were allowing me to appear.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them your question. So I didn't know who to ask, so I walked over to the bluish, because the light blue is the color, and it moved away. I thought, oh, okay, maybe it's the wrong person to ask. So I looked over, and the white instead came toward me. So I said, oh, okay, so now I ask him. And I asked the question, what's the purpose of human life? And my life? He looked at it. He didn't seem to look at me, did he? I could see a face. I could see a being behind there, the light. I could see him trying, becoming more and more human looking. But he still was fully radiant, just glowing with white light. I could see eyes, I could see his nose, his mouth, and, his appearance being very regal. And I asked the question, and the answer was very simple. He said that you would become as I. And I looked at him and I said, you mean like how you are right now? That is the purpose of human life, that you will be able to become like I. So I turned to my teacher, my Dana, and said, what is he? My teacher said, he is a most high, around the deck observer. He is the most high. I mean, God? He says, no, he is the most high, around the deck, around the deck. No one would know. Anyway, at that point, I knew that he had perhaps a title of some, you know, something. I was just speaking about being introduced, actually given the name of who I was speaking to, these beings of light, composed of light energy.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have transformed himself and make themselves as nearly as possible something that I could relate to. close to human, at least in appearance, yet maintaining light. So Dano himself gave me their title, who they were, as Verondadik, Most High Observer. And I said, well, Most Observer, are they looking? Yeah, I guess they might be looking at us or something. But I was about to see if I could ask another question. And I was told by my the Dano, I'm sorry, you have to go right now. So I had to leave. So I have one question answered. And anyway, next thing I knew, we were moving toward what appeared to be the wall. And I don't even remember making a step, but now I was in a different, more physical place.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely back to something very close to Narwan. He says, I'm going to leave you here. And the Dano left me there. And I tried to see how I could, where that place was again, because it was a wonderful place. And
mm-hmm.
I wanted to find out. I wanted then my guide's back again. And there he is with me. And he says, oh, okay. And I look over and I see that guy again. And this guy I'm talking about is the one, a black guy, human being, you know, and he's talking away, looking down, and he's talking away. And I'm wondering, what is this guy talking to? He's talking to himself or something. Well, anyway, I was wondering what was happening, and I asked, what's going on with this guy? And he says, oh, he's talking to his space pet, his companion. He has a Rancha companion.
Mm-hmm.
He's a companion and a space pin. Oh, and I could have one too. My guide told me, I can have one too, but I says, well, I don't know if I want to look like that. But anyway, and I saw him pass and went up a ramp somewhere into another room together. And I also saw someone familiar. I saw Ted and Nella. And I said, whoa, I see them again. Hey, this is cool. I've been through this whole thing, learning stuff, and just absorbing all these affairs, and now I see Kevin. And I never figured I would be happy to see aliens again. But there they were, and we went up over there. And this is where my guide, I think, departed. He said, I'm going to have to leave you. And I says, oh. And I remember, I didn't want him to go, and I said, you know, I want you to go. You know, he's a really nice guy. I mean, he's really, really, really nice guy. And he says, oh, my work with you is finished. And I go, wow, you know, I get to see you again. He says, maybe not. And I says, but maybe, will I be here again? And he says, yes. When will that be? Will you still be here? And he says, it'll be a long time before I see you again, or before you come back here again. I can't say that I'll be here, but maybe. So we left, and I was again with Tenzin Wan, and they said, Wan, the Wands, I called them.
Mm-hmm.
And could remember their name because it sounded like Quan, not a Chinese name. But as I was there, others came. Riley was there. We walked into the room, and Dungeon One. I want you to meet, introducing me to Riley's, I want you to meet the navigator. Well, before that, wait a minute, I want you to meet the ticketer. And I said, he's the ticketer. Yeah, so we walked over. And then he told Riley, I want you to meet the navigator. And navigator, and found out his title was Reticular.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Reticular. And I remember before going over thinking, you mean like somebody at the ticket booth taking tickets? No, it's different. This is, he's giving tickets. Yeah, so. Oh, okay. So, Reticular, okay. And Riley hears my title, which is Navigator, and he immediately looks upset. He says, Navigator? He doesn't even know where he's at. And I go, whoa. He's got such an attitude. Previously, I didn't tell you that part where we were had met and were seated in just a short time, just before, close to the end of where my trip was there. And I had been seated watching some of these screens.
Mm-hmm.
I explained to Riley that the name of what they call Earth is Agrancha. I use a memory trick called Uras. And he said, oh yeah. Well, so I had explained to him that I'm not really sure where I'm at, you know. And that's why he came up with the idea that he doesn't even know where he's at. And is it, or he knows where he's at. Now, in other words, they kind of knew that I got filled in with a lot of information between at that time. And,
mm-hmm.
And we were walking away. I don't know where Riley went. He left. And I was continuing on, and I met that girl again. She looked really good. I mean, she was not zoned out at all. And I said, hi, how are you? She said, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. And what you do? The communicator. I said, communicator. I want to be a communicator. I think a communicator's things is pretty cool, you know. I'm not sure if I know what a navigator does, but I might want to be a communicator. He said, don't worry, as a navigator, you are also a communicator. Okay, fine. Okay. Anyway, we were happy to see. She just stayed for such a short time. We just had to go on. And then, a brief period, I went along, and I was again with Tan and Nella, mostly with Nella, now with Nella.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, and it seemed, I wasn't sure if it was in the ship or in our personal space, a room of hers. But it is there that she asked me, ah, what have you learned? And I said, oh, I learned a lot. But I'm glad that I have been told about a book and it's on Earth. And I said, really? And I said, yes, it's a book on Earth that helps, you know, explain what's happening here. And I said, the teacher, the Dano, told me about it. It's called the Iracha book. And he says, oh, he told you about the Iracha book? I'm not sure if he could. Then she stopped and says, well, he can do that if he wants to. It's from his position, but we couldn't tell you. And I said, oh. And then she walked over to what appeared to be a shelf, and she pulled out this thick book. And she said, this is the book, the Yerongsa book. And I noticed there were other books, and I could see that there was a Bible, a Holy Bible, because I knew what a Holy Bible looked like. It says Holy Bible on it. And she said, oh yeah, I have other books on faith and religion and things like that. And the shelf was pretty full of books from Earth. And then she put them back and said, oh, there's so much that I have to absorb. And she said, yeah. And she said, I'll see you there. And she looked at it. It was a wonderful experience of being with everyone there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to remember every second I could. And I remember being seated there again, and she walks back over again to the shelf and pulls out what appeared to be like a wand. And I looked at it and I said, oh no, because I receive her telepathic image also.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're going to make me forget. And she said, yes, I have to. And, oh, no. And she was about to touch it to my forehead and I ducked. And I ducked again. And she said, oh, I have to do that. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Then. I'll let you remember someone. In which you need to remember the details of your experience and other things which will be told to you, you will be remembering them. But for now and for your life, you must proceed as normal, as one who did not have this experience.
Mm-hmm.
This I must do. And if I do not this, I will disrupt your life, and my responsibility to you would be jeopardized. I would have hurt you. And I said, oh, I'll keep that case, all right. Well, so I let her touch the wand, and at that point, that's probably where I forgot a lot of the internal experience.
Mm-hmm.
But the recollection part is an amazing point, because it is. My description of how everything came back to me is as if it just happened. It's one thing to go through a classroom and go through it and have a very fresh, all your short-term memories still live alive. You don't need your notes. You know what happened in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And later, of course, you have to reference your notes to remember some of the things that went on in the classroom. But in any case, it was as if when the memories came back, as if I was just in the classroom or I had just heard something happen. It was reliving. It became so enlivened and true. And then everything seemed to be backed up because now we got the actual picture from Cassini of the very light bulb looking place that I went to. The Rancho book was real. That discovery was appropriate at a particular time, which was after I began the recordings with Curtis Cooperman of
mm-hmm.
Hello Earth. So it was, I had had all the background information of the Rancho book. I was simply relating it, although it did come very, very close to the starting point. So that had a certain intervention in which I began to remember the names like Veranda Deck. Although the Veranda Deck, I remember, was Lana Dundeck, that the idea of that sound was triggered by someone telling me about the Adirondack people. People? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there are people right around that. But I didn't realize that it was still hidden in this memory because I was at a church group, a very large church group in Alaska that I was participating in leadership seminars. That sound of it. Sounded like you're talking about the same people, but I'm trying to remember who these people were. But I couldn't come up with it at that time. But I knew that it was buried deep inside of my mind and my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it did come out much later for the benefit of those who are listening right now and have listened to my other talks, and those especially to verify much more in the dimension of the reality of what has been given us in terms of the Rancho book and what is continuing to be given to us through active messaging that comes through to selected individuals of the Reserve Corps of Destiny here on Earth. So anyway, do you have any other questions?
Well,
Michael, once again, we're almost out of time. Are there any parting thoughts that you'd like to share?
Well, it seems that there's with me escalation in revelation. There's more active information that is flowing. Also, have others who are being pointed to me who are reservists themselves, such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And are being awakened by my words. So they're very different, much like how you are, as if there's no amount of boredom in hearing what I say. When I talk to someone who is not a non-reservist person, normal person,
mm-hmm.
There's a point in which they just don't listen anymore. They don't care about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening more and more, verifying with people who are coming into the number and are going to make this transition. It's probably the largest number of reservists are right now on planet Earth because of the transition point that we're at, moving from one level of consciousness and awareness and duty in service to the celestial community, as well as in terms of bringing and uplifting this planet toward the readiness, toward getting everyone into that mode of true truth without violating their personal will. This is indeed the challenge that we are facing. And so those who are getting enlightened and are part of this enlightening experience, is the core of destiny, under mortal core of destiny, are a number of volunteers that are now showing up, some of them as truly being pre-rehearsed,
mm-hmm.
others who are have been made receptive, and the numbers are going to have to grow. They come from all walks of life, all faiths. Indeed, growing the number for this transition into a great thing. But in the transition, of course, is change, and change many times is demolition. So we're going to see that come about.
Well, thank you again for joining us today. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.